This is Daim Shabazz with the Chess Drum, and we're in Abidjan, Cote d'Ivoire, and we have just completed the Grand Chess Tours Rapid and Blitz event. Magnus Carlsen did win the event, and everyone is surrounding him for interviews, but I also have with me someone very special. He won the World Championship in 2005, and it is Veselin Topalov of Bulgaria. So how was this tournament for you? Did you enjoy the conditions and the competition?
Well, actually, I did enjoy a lot. It didn't go well, but okay, I guess I could have played much better in many, many games. But I guess the main thing about this event is to promote chess. And I think it was a really good idea to host an event here in Cote d'Ivoire and to promote chess in Africa, because it is the missing continent for FIDE, for the world chess, I think. And I guess it all went well and people enjoy, so it was a great idea and hope it will continue.
I saw you in the swimming pool at least once. Did you get a chance to do any sightseeing?
I only went once to the swimming pool, but we didn't do much. Maybe tomorrow I go for some shopping. I didn't have time to, you know. But it's interesting place. I mean, before this I've only been to Libya on the African continent, but this is different.
Very different.
So it's totally different, of course.
So what do you think this impact this will make? You see a lot of people here in the lobby. Do you think it will have lasting impact?
I hope. No, really. For me, it was always a mystery why FIDE did so little for chess in Africa. Because at some point you have to invest first, you know, in order to then get some the benefits. And in Europe, I don't believe you can really change the image of chess anymore. I mean, people have some kind of already some image for the game, and I don't. No matter how many more events you organize, it will more or less it will not change. So, the continents, I think chess has to expand is South America, Asia, and Africa. So that's the reason it's a very good step for the Grand Chess Tour to stage an event here. And I think it will continue because everything went smoothly.
So
you see a reason not to do it again.
Well, hopefully they'll have it again. They were talking, Arkady Dvorkovic was talking about possibly in the future having an Olympiad here somewhere in Africa. And that would be also another very interesting step. In terms of your own activity, you are still obviously playing in tournaments, but what kind of goals or ambitions? I mean, you're world champion, you won many tournaments. Is there anything left?
Well, not really. I'm really enjoying. I have to say that I gave up my ambitions to fight for the World Championship again, for the title. Because it's obvious that, well, first you just have to train a lot. And I don't have the energy anymore. And also I don't really feel like motivated. And family life is completely different. It's one thing when you're 25, like the guys that are here, or, you know, without kids. But with kids, I really things change. But again, I still enjoy it, and my, you know, blitz and rapid, it's never been very good for me, but still I really enjoy it, because when you don't care so much about the results, then you just enjoy it.
So what do you think of the younger players coming up now in terms of their style and their preparation? Has it really gotten more intense over the years, or is it pretty much the same level?
No, my impression is that the generation of Magnus, there are several guys that are really very good level, and they will continue for the next 5 years, and then some younger players will probably join. But if you look at Vachier and Wesley Shaw and Karjakin and then Dinklirin and then I think Caruana obviously. And I'm missing someone. It's a very strong generation. And it's really strong and very... sometimes the difference is just the moment. It's not like there are one is better than the other, but it's just today this guy wins because he has a better day. But in general, they're very, very level. And Anish Giri also, he can join. He's a bit younger. So it will be big fight for... Well, it's clear that for the moment Magnus is just another level. But for the second sport, it will be a fight.
There are also some players out of Iran. Magasuglu and Ferozia.
Iran. Yeah, I don't know them. Yeah, I know the names, but there are so many young guys now that...
And from India, they have all these...
Yeah, for sure. But okay, they are just,
getting started.
They're getting stronger, for sure. And I don't think they're going to be worse. But for the moment, this is what I see, that it's a lot of strong players. It's a good generation. It's good for chess. But again, Magnus is a different level now. It's another planet.
Let me ask you a slightly different question. There was a move for equality movement launched by Carlsen and Anish Giri, where in the video Magnus played e5 with black. I was talking to you earlier in the tournament, and you had some ideas about how that should go in terms of who moves first. Can you give us an idea of what you think, the way that you think that should go?
Well, the thing is that I have a friend in Spain who wrote a book. And more or less I had to write some kind of an introduction, and it got interesting for me about a bit of the first year of chess centuries ago, when it moved from India to what is now Iran, to the Persia, and then from there to Europe. So finally I realized that when it went to Europe, at the beginning it was not always that the white pieces were starting first, and in fact the queen didn't exist. And later on I realized that the reason finally it was decided that white starts first is because I think in medieval Europe there were these crusades, and they because of the slave ship. So it was unthinkable to allow to the black army to start first and to show superiority. So it was very natural to give a preference for the white army, for the white pieces. But I think in the 21st century it has to change. So I'm planning to sponsor, together with a couple of my friends, a small tournament in Bulgaria this year, probably October. And then the thing is that it will be a toss of a coin to decide who plays first.
And the colors really are optical, as you said.
It's a symmetrical game, so it's only a totally optical illusion. And also what I'm saying is that if you look, it's not only the white starts first, but if you look in newspapers, all these endgame studies, or all the studies and the problems we solve, it's almost always that white starts first, and then it creates the wrong impression. I believe on the subconscious level that the white color is superior, and this is what we have to try to change.
So
I believe it has some educational value.
So the notion that you should draw with black and win with white is not something that you hold as an opinion.
Yeah, I think it's... I don't believe it will... there will be a change in the world of chess, but I think at least we have to try it. I don't think that FIDE will change their rules, honestly. But I don't see a reason why not to try it. And especially for kids, and education, I think it has some value.
Well, that's all the questions I have. I want to close by congratulating you on a stellar career. It's been wonderful talking to you during the tournament about these topics, and I wish you a safe journey back to Spain. And all the best in the future.
Thank you.